Hey, this is James Arnold Taylor, voice actor and voice of
Yabba-dabba-doo, Fred Flintstone,
Johnny Test, who's 11 years old and totally awesome,
Ratchet from Ratchet and Clank, Tidus from Final Fantasy X, oh yes, and of course, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It wouldn't be coffee with Kenobi without yours truly. The Force is strong here indeed.
Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
I really loved Traps and Tribulations. They got together and got to save the day together. That was really great. I loved it.
It's funny because, Megan, until you verbalized it like that, I didn't realize that's one of the things that I appreciated about it. But seeing the two of them together like that, Leia holding that lightsaber is awesome.
A little tricky because you consider what Luke had just gone through. He seemed very, very at peace and relaxed. You'd never know he'd just been through one of the most traumatic times in his life.
Yeah,
that might show
Leia too.
Purpose, yeah, Leia as well. Yeah, of course. But I guess I was thinking more of him being electrocuted by the Emperor.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised that Nick is here. That little man.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Yes, Sith lightning, always a challenge, I would think. Hello, everybody, and welcome to show number 124 of Coffee with Kenobi. Of course, we are your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking One Nation Coffee out of the Last Jedi ILM crew mug. Really excited to talk with you today. Thank you so much. Let's have some Star Wars conversation and enjoy this incredible atmosphere that we have here, thanks to the premiere of Solo. Thank you so much to everyone for your feedback on show number 123. We're going to do things a little bit more similar to that on this show. We are going to have an amazing special guest. His name is Clayton Sandell, of course, from Good Morning America. And he and I are going to talk about Solo and the premiere. And we're going to hit the Solo movie a lot more heavily. We're going to be a little more specific in our discussion of the film. Now, again, we're still spoiler-free. That is not going to change. But this is probably the closest we're going to get to spoilers. So if you still want to be 100% fresh, then probably skip this opening segment with Clayton and I and come back after you've seen the film on the 24th or the 25th of May. We don't talk about plot. We don't talk about what happens with the characters. We don't talk about any spoilers as far as big events. But we do talk about our feelings for the film, our feelings for the characters, our impressions of the actors, and overall explanation of the tone and what worked for us as well as what didn't. We're not going to have a new segment, but Tom and I are going to catch up on the entire experience because he and I never really got a chance to talk about what happened on the red carpet, so we're going to talk about that. It's very similar to show 123, but it's much more expansive, and it's Tom and I talking, so it's a bit of a different vibe there. You know, everyone you talk to on the show or anywhere, even though you may tell the same stories, you tell them differently to different people, and different things kind of come up, so I hope you'll enjoy that. So please pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Tom, Corey, and I will be broadcasting live from the Peoria Riverfront Museum on Thursday, May 24th, before Solo plays at 7 o'clock p.m. We plan on starting around 5:30 or so, and we're hoping to do a live stream. The one we did for Rogue One worked out really well, and it was on YouTube. And then we tried to do one for Facebook Live for The Last Jedi. It was kind of an unmitigated disaster. We couldn't get the sound to work where people could actually hear us, so we just canceled it all together. So most likely, you'll be standing in line when this is happening, and you won't have time to listen live, which I don't blame you, but it will be there on YouTube for you. I will update you on that as we get closer and closer to the event. And my goodness, it's next week, so I will let you know about that on social media. And again, thank you so much for your support of my experiences on the red carpet and the after party and the premiere and just everything about what happened for Solo. It was just a wonderful experience, and I felt very empowered because of all of you and your support and everything you've done to help Coffee with Kenobi get to where it is. The future continues to look brighter and brighter, and I hope you'll continue to join me on this amazing journey. You deserve a voice in Star Wars fandom, and Coffee with Kenobi is going to be that platform for you to get that opportunity.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Let's talk about Patreon, and especially what we've been doing with Patreon for the Solo premiere and other exciting events, because I do have one coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be the same kind of thing. But before I jump into that, I need to thank our CWK family patrons who've done so much for this show, and none of this is possible without them. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, and I'm talking about people like Ben Elkington, Terry Lee, Dennis Keithley, Lieutenant Law, Aaron Harris, Chris Savaka, Crystal Hayding, Angela Soss, Mediocre Jedi, Thea Selby, Jeff Ellis, Brad Tracy, Daz Davies, Tyler Wiggins, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Deco, and Mark Suter. And those are all the people that got access to our Lens, which is the place where you can see exclusive conversations with me or pictures of things. And I try to put them on there and announce things on there before I put them anywhere else. For instance, when I found out about the premiere, I told everybody on our CWK Lens right away. And the way to see this, and again, it's like Instagram or Snapchat, but it's just for CWK patrons. And the way you see it is you download the Patreon app, and you just log in, create an account, and it will show that you're supporting Coffee with Kenobi, and you'll be able to see them. There'll be a little button where you can see the little picture. I'll probably have my goofy mug on there, and you can click that. And there's also a place to download the exclusive shows. For $5 or more a month, Corey, Tom, and myself do a weekly podcast where we talk about Star Wars and geek culture and just sort of what's going on in our worlds with all those topics. The feedback has been extraordinary. There are 6 shows on there right now, so just for $5 a month, you get access to all the previous shows and then the new ones as they come out every Sunday. And we do release them every Sunday. They're about 25 to 30 minutes long, so they're not very, very long. So it's not like it's going to throw off your podcasting schedule or your weekly schedule, but hopefully it will add a little bit more. Also for Patreon, for $10 more, you get access to our message board for Discord. You could also possibly get a mug, a t-shirt, or even co-host a show with me for 4 times in 1 month. So please check out the link on our show notes or webpage for more details. And speaking of that exclusive show, this week we talked about Infinity War, we ranked the Marvel films, and we talked about Killmonger or Thanos and which villain worked the best for us. Solo, a Star Wars story cards are now available in Star Wars Card Trader by Topps. Download free and start collecting and trading all the characters from the upcoming movie. App available now in the App Store, Google Play, and Amazon. One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. 4 lifelong friends had this idea that grew into some of the best coffee you will ever have. It smells amazing and tastes even better. Check out www.onenationcoffee.com to get your morning started off the right way. And I completely mean this. It's not because they are a sponsor of ours. But when I was in LA, every morning, of course, I would get coffee. And I legitimately can tell you, and I'm not going to mention specific brands, but I can legitimately tell you that I missed One Nation Coffee. It really has become my favorite, even when I'm traveling on the road. So be sure to check them out today. You won't be sorry. We are back, and we have a very special guest with us today having a cup of coffee. We have Clayton Sandell from Good Morning America. How you doing, Clayton?
Hey, Dan, how are you? I'm doing very well. Is this the Dan Zare from the Target Rogue One commercial that I've seen?
It is. How'd you
like
that? I
finally Googled it.
What'd you think?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was great. And I kind of vaguely remember seeing it back when it came out before I knew you were in it. But now that I've seen it and I see what went into it and how cool they put it together, congratulations.
Well, thank you. You, of course, are known, especially to viewers of Good Morning America, as the Star Wars guy. Kind of let us know how you got into Star Wars.
Well, if we're going way back, I was 4 years old when I first saw Star Wars in the theater in Riverside, California. My aunt and uncle took me, and, just it inserted itself into my DNA, and I just never looked back and just absolutely loved it. And it, you know, hit in my formative years. So it was kind of that great period, right, where we had Star Wars and then we had Raiders movies and E.T. Mm-hmm. and all of these great films that kind of formed our childhoods. And my fandom when Return of the Jedi came and went, thought I was going to be, you know, like a lot of people thought that was it. And so I got into the behind the scenes stuff, all the ILM books and the making of books and magazines and Cinefex magazine and all that stuff. So I kind of dove into the behind the scenes and
Darlog too, right?
Yeah, all of that stuff. Yeah absolutely. Cinefantastic and all that stuff. So I was very excited for the prequels. I probably watched the Phantom Menace prequel about 200 times before the movie came out, and had all sorts of expectations built up for what that movie was supposed to be. And the prequels kind of came and went, and they were all right. I wasn't a huge fan. And then I thought, again, it was kind of done. And so when we heard that Lucasfilm had been sold and we were going to get new movies, all of a sudden it was like the fandom awakening again. And so I kind of made it my side gig to take on Star Wars, because normally I mean I'm not an entertainment reporter, I'm a news guy, and I go and cover all sorts of death and destruction and natural disasters and you name it on the news side, but Star Wars has kind of become my side hustle, as I like to call it. anytime something comes up, if there's a new movie out or behind the scenes stuff we can do or stuff about fans we've done quite a bit on, then I'm right there and pitching it. And it's just kind of my escape from the bad news, kind of bringing balance back to the Force and getting nice. Able to do something that's fun. And even though it's work and sometimes can be a lot of work, it's still mostly fun.
Oh, I agree. It's a nice break from, it's always been sort of a nice escape for me. And you and I are about the same age, as we found out when we had coffee last week. The way that you and I met is we follow each other on Twitter, of course. But last week, we were able to both be at the red carpet premiere of Solo, which I've talked about ad nauseum on the show already because it was very exciting. Now, so I've sort of hinted around to my thoughts on Solo, but mm-hmm. Clayton and I, ladies and gentlemen, are going to talk about the movie now. This is very important that you understand this. You know, we are a spoiler-free podcast. That has not changed. We're just going to talk about kind of our feelings about the film, but we're not going to talk about plot. We're not going to talk about anything that happens with characters or their arcs. We're just going to give an overview, kind of the sense of the film. And actually, we're going to talk about maybe where we rank it. I think I'm ready to do that.
Ooh, okay. I'll have to think about that one. But yeah, no, we'll definitely stay away from spoilers. My spoiler stance originates when I was in third grade and Return of the Jedi had been out for just a few days. And I was on the playground at Bryant Elementary School in Riverside, California, when my supposed best friend, Chris Martinez, comes running up to me, having seen Return of the Jedi, and blurts out that Luke and Leia are brother and sister. Oh. And it affected my viewing of that movie. It affects my viewing of that movie, I think, to this day. So I've become very anti-spoiler, and I try to take a lot of care in not doing it.
I believe it. And you and I talked about when someone ruined the Kylo Ren Han Solo thing for me. Even now, when yes. I watch that scene, I just have this distaste for, oh, this should have been more powerful for me.
Yeah,
and I stand on the mountaintop and shake my fist, you know.
Yes, you feel cheated. You feel cheated out of a great experience. So, yes, anyway.
So what did you think kind of overall when the film was over, what kind of washed over you?
I thought overall it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a great adventure story, lots of great action, lots of great characters introduced. And I thought it had some unevenness to it. I kind of wanted to love it a lot more than I did, but at the end, I felt really good about it. I thought it's a great story. It's a great yarn. There's a lot of great things about it, a lot of great surprises. But I do think it took a little bit longer than it should have to kind of get started. I think probably the first third or the first half an hour or so, just for me fell a little flat, even though there's a lot going on and it's kind of hard to describe, without going into it too much, but, there's a lot going on. At the same time, it's not quite hitting on all cylinders for me. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, by about the last two thirds of it, it just takes off and just does not look back. And, very Star Warsian in its execution, and in the end, I really did like it. I thought it was great.
I like Star Warsian. That's an excellent adjective. So, to me, the thing about walking into this film, I remember when Rogue One came out. It wasn't that long ago, obviously, and I was looking forward to it because it was a new Star Wars movie, and I knew there were no Skywalkers, and I just thought, okay, I'm just going to see what they do. So I had no expectations. I end up absolutely loving that film, and I still think that film is better than Solo, to be honest. As far as my feelings on Solo, I agree with you. I think, and this isn't a bad thing, it takes a turn in about the first third of the movie that I didn't expect would happen, and it very much changes the course of things. And that ends up being a positive, But, you know, I don't want to say too much. I'll wait till everyone watches it and we can revisit this particular idea.
Yeah.
But I agree. Structurally, it wasn't as sound. This is the only Star Wars film, and I wrote this on my review, that doesn't have real cost. It doesn't have galaxy-wide implications. Every single Star Wars film does. This is very localized. And that's, again, not necessarily a bad thing. I embrace change. But it's definitely something that you are aware of. Because when the film is over, I thought to myself, that was really cool. That was really exciting. But I don't really know that anything happened. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. And you're a student and teacher of literature. So you know this, that the best characters and character development, something has to be at stake. A character has to go through change. And that's what I think struck me the most about this is when you look at Han Solo from the original trilogy, you go from this guy who is in it for himself, all about the money. And then by Return of the Jedi, he's now like volunteering to lead missions to Endor, right? Mm-hmm. He's gone through this big change, this arc. And I kind of felt like in Solo, Han more or less is the same person at the end that he was at the beginning. And absolutely, I think part of the reason is there is not a tremendous amount of stakes for him personally. There are stakes in other ways for other people in a broader sense later in the movie. But for Han, he kind of starts and ends more or less the same, I think. And I think that's a bit of a drawback.
No, I agree with you. And I think that was why, and I was talking to some people at the after party and they said, well, I like Rogue One better. And they said, well, everyone dies. I said, well, yeah, that's not why I like it, but I like that there's real cost and there's real weight to that sacrifice. And they said, well, that's depressing. I said, well, of course it's depressing. It's very Shakespearean, but it's very powerful. Han is very much the same person. He's just got cooler stuff at the end, you know?
Yeah,
now there
exactly.
are some wonderfully iconic moments that will just make you smile so much your face will hurt. I mean, that is definitely there. This is an incredibly fun film. Mm-hmm. You will very much enjoy it and want to see it again and again to catch little things. And this is the first film, and they said, talked about this at the press conference last weekend. This is the first film where Chewbacca really is one of the main characters. He's not just a side character, but he is a focal point for this movie, which was nice.
Absolutely. I have that high in my notes that this movie, you're going to see Chewbacca on screen more than any other movie, any other time, except for maybe, I don't know, the holiday special. I don't know.
What's that?
This is like all Chewy all the time. And you get a really wide range of emotions from Chewy, and you see some things that are important to him along the way that we haven't necessarily seen him get to react to in the past. And that's cool. There's an incredible depth there to Chewie that we just haven't seen. And I think, Eunice Suotomo, is that how you pronounce it?
I believe so.
Really does a terrific job of conveying all of that. Now that he's fully taken over, he told me this is the first movie that he's done it completely on his own. You had Peter Mayhew consulting or doing parts in previous films, but this is the first time that it's all Eunice.
Wow. Well, speaking of, let's take a quick little detour from our conversation about the movie, and let's talk about a picture on Twitter of you interviewing Eunice on the red carpet.
Yeah, he came up to us, and we were up on a platform that was probably 6 or 8 inches tall. And so he walks up the first time, and he stood up on the platform, and it was like, no, you're going to stand down on the ground. I'll stand on the platform, and we'll try and have this conversation. But even when he stood down on the floor and I'm way up on this platform, I made a joke that I was on a stepladder, but I was actually just on this 6 or 8 inch platform. But even then, I'm still looking up at the guy. It's pretty incredible. But yeah,
he's a charming guy too. He's a sincere, you can just get the sense that he's a sincere good person on the inside, and he's having fun.
He's having fun. And he was very, when we chatted, he was very, spoken very reverential tones toward Peter Mayhew and all that Peter brought to the role and all he learned from Peter and still tries to emulate in the role. So he had nothing but good things to say. And he's a new dad, too. So
That's right. Now, emulating is a good transition point again, because one of the main concerns, and probably the chief concern about this movie for many fans, was after the first couple of trailers in the Super Bowl mini trailer that premiered, people seemed to be upset that Alden Ehrenreich wasn't Harrison Ford, which of course can't be helped. So this is the deal. He made me forget, in this movie, he made me forget about Harrison Ford as Han Solo. And that is about the biggest compliment I could possibly give an actor in a Star Wars movie, because Harrison Ford is my absolute favorite of any genre. He was marvelous. He was just the right amount of swagger and vulnerability and cockiness, but there's also, you know, a good side to him. And I never felt like he was doing an impression of Harrison Ford or even an impression of the original trilogy of Han Solo. He just felt like Han Solo was on screen to me, but he was younger. And I think that is the big win for this movie.
I think so, too. I think Alden made it his own. And I was telling people before seeing this movie that I admitted I was nervous because, like you, Harrison Ford is one of my favorite guys. Favorite movie was Raiders of the Lost Ark. My mom took us to it to see it like 20 times in the theater over the summer when it came out. I mean, it was, you know, I was Indiana Jones 3 years in a row in elementary school. So I was nervous going into this that I was going to be too Harrison Ford biased. And I, you know, I had to remember that, you know, like the prequels, this portrayal of Han Solo is going to be the first one that some people see. So for some people, this is going to be their first take on Han Solo, their right. first screen, their first screen Han Solo. So, but I thought Alden absolutely had his own take, but it wasn't an impression, and he did embody the role. And I didn't. It never crossed my mind watching this movie that I'm not watching Harrison Ford, that he somehow didn't fit. He hits all the right beats. He's got, like you said, that blend of cockiness and that sort of oh crap reaction when things don't go his way, which is often the case. And I think he really just made it his own. And you do forget that you're not watching Harrison Ford,
and you just kind of get lost in it, and you don't feel like there's any effort to try to be anything other than what this story is. And I think that's really refreshing. It doesn't try to be something that it isn't. And you bring up the prequels. I think about my impression still of Obi-Wan Kenobi in A New Hope with Sir Alec Guinness, you know, versus Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels with Ewan McGregor. And I never really felt like it was the same character. I never thought of that as a pejorative. I mean, I knew it was Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I still canonically make that leap in my head, but I never felt like they were the same kind of persona, because they're quite a bit different. And I'm probably, you know, what 19 years in the desert would do that to you, I would assume. Hope I never find out. But with this character, that was not the case at all.
I agree. And it was, I think, even trickier than even an Obi-Wan, because now you're dealing with a Holy Trinity character. You know, this is Luke, Leia, and Han we're talking about here. Good so point. It's yeah. It's a tough one to step into, but I do think he did a really good job.
So the irony is that at the press conference, I was very lucky, as you know, you and I talked about this, I got to interact with George, even though it was very, very brief. That was wonderful. The only thing that would be better than that for me would be interacting with Harrison Ford. So at the press conference, he, of course, surprised Alden during an Entertainment Tonight interview. I believe it was Entertainment Tonight. And so
I believe it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was in the room next to me. I had no idea. I was, woof. It's amazing.
You were in the same building. You were sharing the same air, possibly.
That's true. So you probably interviewed him or talked to him before, I'm guessing.
Believe it or not, I have never spoken to Harrison Ford. I've been in the room with him, like at celebrations and things like that. Interestingly enough, we have mutual friends in the aviation world. No, I've never interviewed him. It's definitely top of the list of bucket list kind of things as a Star Wars reporter. But no, I never have. Have you?
I wish. No, I definitely haven't. I think it would be fun. It would be amazing. I think one of the things that would be fun about interviewing him is he's hard to get a lot out of. And that to me is a great challenge, because I do that every day with teenagers in high school. So I think it would be a fun challenge.
You're well practiced. Yeah, exactly.
So
I think the way to do it is to talk to him about planes and helicopters and work into a Star Wars discussion after that.
Right. Once he's like, all right, I guess I'm not annoyed by you.
Yeah. if you can name the model of helicopter that he owns, then you're probably starting off on the right foot. But yes.
You mentioned Celebration a little bit ago. We just had the announcement that Celebration is coming to Chicago. And of course, I was thrilled because it's just a 2-hour drive for me. It's in my hometown, basically. I didn't even realize that was a possibility. So this is exciting. What do you think about that news?
I was surprised. You know, I hadn't kept up behind the scenes much on where the discussion was going in terms of where they were going to put it. But the last thing I heard, which was several months ago, is that Anaheim was still a strong contender. So I kind of expected it to be in Anaheim. But what I was hearing from, I'll just call them sources, is that Celebration was going to be in April, but we're still hearing that that Galaxy's Edge is still the end of 2019. So because you didn't have it looked like the timing wasn't going to work up because it worked out. It just seemed like you would want to do Celebration in Anaheim or Orlando at the same time Galaxy's Edge opens. So when those two timelines kind of diverged, I thought, well, maybe could be somewhere else. I personally was lobbying for like Tokyo. I would have loved to go to Tokyo, but a lot harder to get to.
That's a long drive for me.
It is a long drive. And but I think Chicago would be great. It'd be a lot of fun.
It's interesting because it's pretty much smack dab in the middle of the country. I mean, not exactly, of course, but it's very different because you're not on either coast and you don't have a theme park as part of the appeal. I'm guessing, and I'm sure you agree, that part of the plan here is traffic when Galaxy's Edge opens up is going to be insane. So I'm pretty sure they're going to do this because then you can have extra, right? You can have the crowd at Celebration, and then you can have a extra when you have the theme parks and Star Wars opening up there. So you're going to create more of less claustrophobia, I guess.
Yeah, less claustrophobia, and you kind of get a double bounce out of all of it. Really, I mean, the Galaxy's Edge openings are going to be absolutely phenomenal, off the charts, huge, big deal events. So, so maybe separating it out is probably a good thing.
Well, and next weekend, not this weekend, but Memorial Day weekend, I will be a guest of Disney's at Hollywood Studios, and they're going to have a big presentation on Galaxy's Edge, and I'm hopeful that we'll get some information about when this is going to open, at least more of a ballpark concrete idea of that.
Yeah, exactly. The last I heard was Bob Iger, my boss, on the investor call the other day, talking about late 2019, and that has not changed in a while. But yeah, it would be nice to know exactly when we can count on going there. I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be great. Now, so Clayton, I see your coffee is getting rather low. Is there anything you want to say about Solo or that whole experience before
we haven't talked about, I wanted to ask you about what you thought about the music.
Oh, yeah.
Something we can talk about non-spoilery.
Yeah, absolutely. I never felt like I wasn't listening to John Williams. In fact, I was sort of enraptured by it because it very much complements the scenes. There are a few cues that maybe go a little bit too much into one particular area or era. That's fine. It's hard to hear those, especially when you're our generation, and not think about the original films. But I get what they were doing, trying to pump you up with a certain atmosphere, especially when you're talking about a certain YT-1300 Corellian starfighter. So
yeah,
I thought it was wonderful. I'm looking forward to getting the soundtrack. What about you?
I loved it. I think the cues that you're talking about are probably the ones that I liked the most. Those are actually a couple of my favorite cues from Empire Strikes Back. I thought it was pretty flawless in terms of, you know, I couldn't really tell a big difference between the styles, between John Powell and John Williams' styles. There were a couple of scenes where I felt like the music was a little wallpapery, maybe a little too much. But I thought overall it was great. And I love, How to Train Your Dragon. If you haven't heard that soundtrack, it's a tremendous soundtrack. Which I really loved. And
good call.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I also, so the music was great. And I also just liked the look of the movie. I thought I thought it's always fun to see how designers and, you know, people like Doug Chang have talked about this, how, you know, how do you create something new and different and still stay in the lane of the Star Wars rules and the rules of Star Wars design, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And I thought they did a great job. A lot of sort of familiar things and a lot of new and different things.
Yeah, for sure. It has an interesting way to sort of approach it. The cues are interesting. And I know that John Williams wrote a theme for Han Solo, but honestly, I couldn't place it right now. But I've only seen it once. I'm sure after we've seen it multiple times, we'll be very clear.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, I thought about that today, too. Like, if you asked me to hum it, I don't know what Han Solo's theme was exactly. I'm sure it was in there multiple times in multiple ways. But it always takes me several full listens to sort of get and appreciate a soundtrack. I was not a huge fan of the Rogue One soundtrack until I listened to it a few times, and now I love it. So it takes me a while with the soundtracks, but thought it was good.
Soundtracks are interesting because of the Empire Strikes Back and Raiders of the Lost Ark soundtracks, they're almost sacrosanct to me. So when I'm listening to one, I can't just have it as background music because I have to sit there and think about what's going on in the film. Then the English teacher me just sort of kicks in and, you know, but I totally know what you're saying. Well, Clayton, it's been an absolute joy having you on Coffee with Kenobi. Where can listeners reach out to you via Twitter if they want to say hello?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime. It's my Twitter handle is @Clayton, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N, and then an underscore Sandell, S-A-N-D-E-L-L. So @Clayton_Sandell.
Awesome. Well, I'll put that in the show notes. Clayton Sandell, ladies and gentlemen, we will take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about Solo and this new exciting film. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Greetings, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
The entire Star Wars galaxy in the palm of your hand. Star Wars Card Trader now featuring exclusive Solo, a Star Wars story content. Download free now. Harry's Razors is this amazing company that ships razor blades to you, and you can count on them coming into your mailbox. You don't have to worry about if it's time. Oh gosh, I don't feel like running out to the store. You don't have to because they're going to mail them to you. It's what I love the most about them, besides the fact that it is an amazing, amazing shave. And the shave gel they send you smells awesome too. And works really, really well. Harry stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. So they created a trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/CWKFamily. Harry delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. And their founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. But they know a great shave comes down to great blades, made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. Which is why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand. Just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. It's a quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days, and they will give you a full refund. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/CWKFamily, all one word. Make sure you go to harrys.com/CWKFamily to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show.
Welcome back to Coffee with Kenobi. No, this is not Dan Z. This is your CWK newsman, Tom Gross. I'm turning the tables on our host of Coffee with Kenobi tonight, and I'm going to ask a few questions of Dan. Gosh, I feel kind of like I'm Ezra taking over the Imperial airwaves, but no worries, ladies and gentlemen. There is no rebellion here. Everything is just fine.
Does that imply that I'm the Imperial airwaves?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I think it does.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. As we all know, Dan.
Yeah, we'll see. So far, so good.
So far, so good. As we know, Dan went to the Solo, a Star Wars Story world premiere red carpet event in Hollywood recently. And while this is a dream come true for you, Dan, I know it is. It's also a dream of mine that is shared universally with our loyal Coffee with Kenobi fans and Star Wars fans overall. So tonight, my questions are going to focus on the experience, what it's like behind the scenes of the red carpet Hollywood premiere, and all of your experiences that go into that. Does that sound all right?
I love it. Yeah, this is fun. We did something similar to this for the previous show with James Burns, but this is a little bit different because you and I, of course, work together and we're good friends, and we haven't actually had a chance to talk at all. So we may go into a little bit more detail here than we did in the last show. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, if I want to know the whole experience, I need to know, and we all need to know, how did you find out about this invitation?
So let's see, about 2 weeks before I left to go to Hollywood, I got an email, and the subject of the email basically said Solo world premiere red carpet event. And so it was in all caps. So when I saw that, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. So I clicked it and I just looked at it, and there's this huge image of the one of the Solo posters, and it basically has the details of the invite, and there's a number of informational pieces there about the embargoes for social media and the regular review and how you shouldn't, please don't reveal any spoilers so that everybody can enjoy the film in their own way. That part's sort of standard when you get to this kind of a thing. And I was just beside myself. And that was at the end of the school day. So I went down to get my wife, and she goes, are you okay? Cause I must've had a look. And I said, yeah, I'm more than okay. I got the invite. And I've been wanting this, of course, for a long time, but especially since we started the show, I kept wanting to be in a situation where I would be invited to that. And Tom, as you know, actually, I think I got the invite the day that we went and saw Infinity War.
We did. That I was going to say, yes. In fact, you told me while we were sitting in the seats waiting for Infinity War to begin.
That's right. And what did you think when I told you that?
Oh, man. Well, I knew how much you've wanted something like this. And I know that, as I said in the intro, that this is a dream come true. And so I had to take a look at it couple times to let it really sink in to what this meant, because you've shown me some pretty awesome things before in the past regarding Star Wars, and so I was like, oh awesome, here comes another thing. But this was different than everything else. This was fantastic. I was so excited for you. And then Infinity War started, and wow, it was a moment for sure.
I know, that was quite a day.
And I love the all caps.
Yeah, the level of adrenaline was just, no, it's well true. And the level of adrenaline is just, like I said, I've been hoping for this moment for a long time. And you know, I even mentioned on a previous show, I'm as hungry for the show as I've ever been. And something like this just gives me, you know, more excitement. And one of my favorite things about all of this is I feel like I get to bring everybody into it as much as possible. And I hope everyone felt that while you're looking at the coverage.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the coverage. The time kind of slipped for me during that period from when you told me and we saw the Infinity War to the week of, because I don't know, for some reason I thought it was going to be the week prior to the movie. So it slipped up on me. And before I knew it, you were saying, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be gone. And I was, wow, okay. So that morning came when you were gone, and you sent me your first picture from Hollywood, and you just happened to be standing sort of in a raised area. It looked like you were in some kind of building with a railing behind you. And the picture and the image that you showed me was a selfie shot where over your shoulder there was a legit Millennium Falcon being built in the streets. So your hotel was right across from the theater. Tell us what you saw in the preparation of the red carpet area in the street, kind of your arrival and all of that excitement.
Right. Well, I had a feeling that the hotel I was going to stay at was going to be a good one, because I didn't want to have to worry about parking and driving and all that stuff in downtown LA when I was trying to get to the premiere. So it occurred to me that the hotel that I would stay at needed to be somewhere in the area of all those movie theaters right there in Hollywood. ended up staying at the hotel that I stayed at when we made the Target commercial, and I knew the lay of the land there fairly well. So we get there, and I'm checking in, and I have a Lucasfilm hat on, and I've got some other things that identify me as Star Wars from the front desk. Said, "Oh, I bet I know why you're here. Let me show you something." So he pulls out his phone, and he said, "I just went outside, and I saw this during the break, and I had heard about it. It's pretty neat. You got to go check it out." So he shows me his phone. He shows me a half-constructed Millennium Falcon right on the street in front of the hotel, on the other side of the hotel. And I thought, it's here. It's here. I got to do it. And I had seen earlier on Twitter when we landed, because a lot of people were posting things from downtown Hollywood of that image. And I had secretly hoped, because I knew that for the one premiere, they had an X-Wing. And for the Last Jedi, they had an AM-6. So I had a feeling it was something like the Falcon. I'd hoped it. So to see it, I was like, wow. So I said to Peyton, okay, the Falcon's out there. I got to go check this out. This is so exciting for me. And he's like, okay, that's cool. I'm going to go to sleep. Because he was pretty wiped out. He didn't get much sleep the night before. Because the difference, of course, is that for me, like I said a few times, I could fall asleep in the middle of a typhoon. So I wasn't tired. So he went upstairs. I got him all situated. And I went down there, and when I was about, 40 or 50 steps away, I could hear the sounds of construction, and I just saw out of the corner of my eye, I saw the cockpit of the Falcon. I thought, oh, it's here. So I walked pretty briskly, and there were only about 10 people around because it was fairly early, and I don't know if people realized what was going on. They were taking pictures, and then I thought, I'm going to go down to the street. So I went down to the street, got some really close-up images, got to kind of peek inside and see them building. Took some selfies, took some video, did some stuff for our Patreon Lens and showed our Patreon Lens family members kind of what's going on, did some Insta story stuff for probably about 4 hours until we had to actually start getting ready. I wanted to get a little bit of rest because I knew it was going to be a long night and I didn't want to be tired.
Sure. Well, and one thing I noticed in those pictures that you took, and you kind of addressed it, but so there really weren't many spectators on the street during the construction.
There weren't at first because I don't know that people realized what was going on, and they had a number of barriers set up.
That is so cool to see that. I can only imagine what it must have felt like to see the Falcon being constructed. Now, one thing I know from traveling with you, when we did our whirlwind trip to San Francisco, I was surprised to hear you say that you're even going to take a rest because you are tireless in travel. When you are in a location, you are there to soak it all in. But so you went upstairs, you got your Darth Vader suit on. Now, mind you, when I first heard, my wife said to me, "Dan has a Darth Vader suit." I had to take a second there to think that through because I was like, "He does not. He would not do a cosplay. He is not wearing a Darth."
That's right.
Then I remembered you have your Darth Vader suit and tie kind of suit. So I remembered that. So,
yeah, from Oppo Suits. Oppo Suits sent me that last year, and this was like one of the best times to wear it.
Oh, it's perfect. It looked fabulous in all your pictures. So then give us the idea of, so you're ready to go down to the red carpet. The time has come. Where do you go to get your pass and checking in? And what's it like to hit the
had a little bit of time, and I wanted to make sure I got a picture because it was, pretty close to the 5-year anniversary of the show. So I grabbed the microphone with the Coffee with Kenobi mic flag, and I went down by the Falcon again. 60 people, and it was just a mob scene, and I could barely see the Falcon. I'm thinking, oh dear, I appreciate these people want to see everything, and I don't blame them, but I'm going to try to take a really quick picture for the show, and I want to get down to the, I don't want to miss a moment of the red carpet. So I was getting a little antsy, so I finally said, excuse me, would you mind taking my picture? So this kind couple stepped aside, and they let me stand there and took some pictures for me, which is what you saw on our Instagram and Twitter. I walk in, and there's like this thing that says check-in area, and there's probably about 5 or 6 Disney people with all these huge iPads in there, and they were just waiting. And I said, okay, what's your last name? So I gave my last name, and of course, it's the last one there. So I walk around this very little thin area, and I turn a corner, and I'm all of a sudden under this huge awning, very similar to when you go to an education conference or some sort of conference. They had like every single letter, all 26 letters of the alphabet, set up individually, and each one was in the style of those Solo posters. So then they said, okay, go have some fun. So we took a bunch of pictures with the red carpet behind us. The Star Wars show was in full swing, and there were people cheering and going crazy. So we got some pictures. The sun was very bright. You can walk underneath the Falcon, which I did. and I couldn't reach it or anything like that. And you basically just walk down this huge stretch. I don't know how long it is. It's probably about, I don't know, a block or so, maybe a block or two, because you're on in the middle of Hollywood and Highland, even though it's covered with an awning. You wouldn't even know you're on the regular street, but you actually are. And you just kind of walk down and you look and try to see who's walking down with you. And there's a lot of other people soaking in the atmosphere. And you can go all the way to the very, very end. And they had this huge display that said world premiere. And then they had a huge Lego display of the interior of the Falcon as far as the controls.
Oh, cool.
And so you just kind of look around. And it was neat. And I ran to Leland Chi and talked to him for a little bit. And then lo and behold, I looked over to my left and there's Ray Park. Me sitting next to me, just, you know, like I could just reach my hand out and tap him. And so I just got that feeling that I thought, you know, this is a situation where I can't be shy. I can't be nervous. And I wasn't, because I'm just, I got over that stuff years and years and years ago, decades ago. And I thought, I'm going to take advantage of this. So I just walked up to him. I said, "Hey, Ray, good to see you. Can I grab a quick picture with you?" And he said, "Oh, sure, man." So, boom, get a picture with Ray Park, which was great. And by the way, he and I actually chatted a little bit on Instagram, which was really, really cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was
very
really
cool.
So he was cool. And then he and Leland started talking because, of course, they worked together before.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of walked away and paid an eye. And Leland said, "I'll see you guys later." And then we get to this area and they say, "Do you want to go into the theater or do you want to go and go back on the red carpet?" And I thought, I looked at my watch. We got about 45 minutes till showtime. And I thought, well, I don't really want to sit in the movie theater when I'm still on the red carpet. This is cool. So I walked back around and did another loop. And that is where I met George Lucas.
Yes, I was going to say, you sent me a text in all caps.
Yeah.
"I just talked to George Lucas." I went back to double check exactly how you worded it with exclamation points. I saw that and I saw the picture. You did that selfie with him behind your shoulder and I saw it and I addressed it and I was like, that is so awesome. But it took me just like when you shared the invitation with me, it took a little while for that to sink in of what that must have been like, to turn and look down the carpet and see, you know, it's like seeing the Godfather walking down towards you. So share with us how that felt when you saw him walking your way. And then I'm dying to know, and maybe you've already shared this with I don't remember if you've shared this or not, but I want to know, what did you say to George Lucas in the moment that you had?
This is what happened. So we got back on the red carpet for the second go round. And I looked, hopefully say hello and get a picture with them, or just kind of say, "Oh, wow, I saw so-and-so. So before George, I saw Paul Bettany, who, of course, is Vision in the Avengers, and he plays Dryden Voss in the Solo film, right?
Yes.
And he was cool. You know, I saw him from a distance. And then I turn around and look at something. I turn back, and I see the silver mane of George Lucas. And I said, "That's George Lucas. That's George Lucas." And he goes, "I know." So I turn back to him and there's like three people by him, but they're not really like cutting me off from him. You know what I mean? Like he's talking and he's just kind of got his holding his hands together, just kind of walking around slowly doing his thing. Just seemed very calm. And I realized he's going to walk right past me. Now there's a railing. There's like kind of a bicycle railing there, but there was nothing really stopping me from talking to him. And I thought, I'm going to ask him for a picture. And I can't believe I'm going to get this moment. So he walks by and I reach out and I pat him on the back and he just turns and looks at me. And I said, "Hey, George, thank you so much for everything you've done. Could I grab a quick picture with you?" And he looks at me, he looks me up and he looks me down and he kind of smiles. He says, "Actually, I think they want me to keep moving." I said, "Okay, thank you very much." And then he walked off and I thought, I just talked to George Lucas.
Yes. We just talked.
We just made eye contact and actually spoke. And I touched him on the back and I was like, my legs, Tom, got wobbly. Like I felt woozy.
Again,
I don't really get nervous, but I just thought, oh my gosh, this is the best. This is the best. This is the pinnacle. So I ran down and I took that selfie that you were just talking about. And Peyton got a picture of me talking to George and him talking to me. And there's a picture. Next to the picture is like one of his handlers or a bodyguard that just kind of stared at me like, "I will eat you, Mr. Which, you know, I respect that. I understand, but I didn't do anything bad and it was fine and nobody said a word to me. And that was that. And that was good enough. But I walked to the end again, just practically floating down the red carpet at this point. And I saw Bob Iger, who's, of course, the Disney CEO. And he's the one who George sold the company to back at the Hollywood Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. So he had no one by him either. And I thought, my gosh, this is like shooting fish in a barrel, man. So I walked up to him and I said, hey, Bob, but Mr. Iger, hello. And he turned and he looked at me and he kind of looked down because he's pretty tall. And I said, hey, nice to meet you. Thank you so much for what you've done with Disney and the direction of the company. It's really been amazing for my family and I to enjoy what you guys have put out there. And he said, thank you very much. And he held out his hand and I shook it. And I said, my name is Dan Zare. I run a podcast called Coffee with Kenobi. So I picked up my phone case and I held it up and I showed it to Bob Iger that I had a podcast called Coffee with Kenobi. And he smiled. He goes, oh, great. And, you know, he had no idea what it was, of course, but he does now.
Oh, so cool. I'm sure he was very impressed by the phone case. He was very impressed by the phone case. One thing that I was thankful for when you were posting those pictures is I know some of those are pictures that you took, but the one where you're reaching out to George Lucas, and another image of you with George Lucas, I was really thankful that you had Peyton there. Someone who's a professional, you know, in media and could get the right shot at the right time. That was so great. And so, hats off to him for being there in the moment and for having the opportunity to go with you so that you could capture, you know, that moment as well as many others.
Perfect. This is a good spot to take a little bit of a break. And then when we come back, we're going to do a little bit more of a commentary about the movie. But I don't want you to worry. It's not going to be spoilers. The review of the film is something we already did on the show, a very spoiler-free review. So I'm not going to talk about the movie itself. I'm going to talk about the experience of watching the movie in that environment. So yeah, let's do that. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
Experience the age-old nostalgia of Star Wars card collecting with the bonus of instant digital gratification, your very own virtual hobby shop, all on your mobile device. Download Star Wars Card Trader now. One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. Four lifelong friends had this idea that grew into some of the best coffee you will ever have. It smells amazing and tastes even better. Check out www.onenationcoffee.com to get your morning started off the right way and to learn more about them and how they seek to support traditional American values upheld by members of the active duty military, veterans, and first responders. In fact, they are actually owned by veterans and members of law enforcement. Be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com to order the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi today.
Welcome back. I'm here talking with Dan about his experience at the world premiere of Solo, A Star Wars Story. So we've just heard about the experience of the red carpet and arriving in LA. So Dan, the next step in this process of this experience is the movie itself. And like you said before the break, you're not going to talk about the movie. We're going to talk about the experience of it. And so tell us about the theater. I know it has a famous program that we watch on television at least once a year. Maybe there are other famous things that go on there. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the theater first.
Well, of course. Well, they have the movie showing at a number of theaters because there are a large amount of people that are going to experience this event. So I went to see it at the Dolby Theater where the Oscars are located. I got to go in there and see the film, which was, you know, pretty cool just to be in the film in the area where the Oscars are anyway. So you walk in and, you know, it's very, very fancy. There's like nice carpeted stairs and, you know, it's very regal Hollywood. You have to go through metal detectors. Oh, I forgot to mention the red carpet. You go through metal detectors. So obviously, I guess.
Yeah.
Then we go into the theater and there are all these tables set up and they have these small green locked bags. And you are to put your cell phone inside there so you can't take any pictures or audio of the movie. So but then you carry your bags with you and you can't open them because they're locked. And it's almost like when you buy clothing at a department store or whatever, and then they have to take the magnetic tags off of it with a special device. Otherwise, it's stuck on there. So that's basically how they seal them. So you carry them around with you so they don't have any liability, but you just can't get inside the bag. So we did that, and they had this huge counter with these piles and piles of popcorn buckets, and there were these small white buckets with the Solo logo sticker on top of it. And then they had water and soda and diet soda and all kinds of stuff. You can just go up and grab whatever you want, and you go into the theater, and we, everybody had assigned seats on your land, on your huge lanyard on the back. It tells the theater you're at, and it also tells where you're supposed to sit. So we were literally at the very, very top
in the very last row, which is completely fine because the screen is gigantic.
And I walk in towards my seat, and I hear, "Oh, hey, Dan." And I turn around, it's Brian Young from Pool of Sith. I'm like, "Oh, hey, Brian, how's it going?"
"Oh, cool."
And we sit down, and the gentleman next to me is one of the people who runs all of AMC theaters, which was, you know, that was cool. So he and I talked for a long time about everything. We had about 25 minutes until the movie was scheduled to start, and they were just showing the StarWars.com live stream. And then they stopped showing the live stream. There's a DJ that's constantly playing music, too. And all of a sudden, like I said, it got
rather quiet, and everyone stood and just started clapping.
And George Lucas walks in, surrounded by some people. And so he walked in, and he grabbed his seat. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm seeing Solo for the very first time ever, you know, among the first people in the world to see it.
And I'm in the exact same theater as George Lucas when he's watching it. Completely insane, right?
And then
that's crazy.
Emilia Clarke, who plays Kira, walks in, and similar cheering. Donald Glover walks in, Ron Howard walks in. People just start walking in, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm watching the movie with all of these amazing people. And then the lights dim, and people start to clap, and they just show the Lucasfilm logo, and boom, movie starts. No trailers. Probably about 5 minutes before that happened, I looked at Peyton, and I said, lost in all this, you know, craziness, the fact that we're about to see a brand new Star Wars movie for the first time.
What a great experience. Now, you talked about the people coming in. So I think what I wanted to know, and maybe others want to know this as well, where do they all sit? Do they have like a boxed-in area that the whole cast sits together, or does the cast kind of sit just in different places with family? Could you see and could you tell where everyone was?
It looked like it was just sort of spread out in the lower level. People could sit with their families. It's kind of spread out. You're in the general vicinity of one another, but it's not like they're all standing in line like a field trip, which I kind of expected, but no, it did sort of spread out.
Okay. Did you see where Kathleen Kennedy sat? Did she sit with George?
I did not see her anywhere the whole experience. I mean, obviously she was there, but I know she was there, of course, but I didn't see her.
Okay. All right. Now, you also sort of implied my next question, but I want a little bit more detail on this. During the show, give us a sense of the audience. Was it a really dignified, silent watching kind of crowd? Was there a lot of excitement, cheering when things happened? You know, kind of like when we went and saw, I guess it was, I'm sorry, you weren't there. When I saw the Black Panther premiere in Illinois, there was a lot of cheering and hollering and, oh yeah, was there that kind of thing? Or what was the crowd like?
It was sort of in between. Like it was, everyone was excited, but everyone was also very, I don't really know how to describe it, but people were quiet. I mean, they laughed when there were funny parts, and there were plenty of funny parts. There was a lot of oohs and ahs for the action sequences, but people just seemed very dialed in. You know what I mean? Like very, very, I mean, you've got to keep in mind, this is people watching this movie are the people who made it and worked on it, and ILM and actors and writers and directors. And then a lot of members of the press, and then a lot of huge fans that are just, you know, drinking this stuff in because they know they're going to be talking about it for the rest of their lives. So it was a little bit in between, if that makes sense. I mean, it was a good crowd, but it wasn't anything like when you go to a packed theater opening day, you know, in your hometown and everyone's super into the film. It wasn't that kind of feeling.
Okay. Neat. Neat. Anything else about the movie experience that you want to share that has stayed in your mind these last few days?
Not really. Just, and then when, you know, when it was over, everyone stayed and watched all the credits and just kind of read everything. And we just kind of, you know, people were starting to sort of talk a little bit. Oh, wow. Blah, 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 blah. And just that. And then when it was over, I just, wow. Okay. It's time to go to the after party.
So let's talk about the after party. So was it right there on location of the theater?
It was. Everybody walked out and, you know, used the restroom or what have you and threw away their trash. And everyone walked out and there were these huge lines of work for people unlocking their phones. Everyone had to jump on and on their phones and power them up. And the social media embargo was over as soon as we all saw the movie. So people were allowed to get online and sort of give a spoiler-free, you know, overview or observation of the film. So people were going nuts on that. I was certainly doing that. And you just kind of followed the herd. And it was neat because everything was barricaded and where I was walking, and there were people on the other side of the barricade that, you know, were looking and looking at all of us and taking pictures of everyone as they were walking by, which is ironic and funny to me because I'm just some schleb from Illinois who got incredibly lucky and is really, really excited to be here. And so then when you just kind of walk up the stairs, ballroom area where the private party was.
And so what was there when you walked in?
And all the costumes from the cast were on display on these very, very high boxes that you couldn't touch them. And there were people, there was like a kind of a box of glass around it towards the bottom. It was exposed, but you just couldn't reach it unless you were Eunice, you know, who plays Chewie. Mm-hmm. And then there were people standing at the base just saying, oh, yeah, you can take pictures. You can take pictures. Just don't touch it or take it. And they would laugh. So I respected that. And sure. Then there's like these huge areas of food. Think of like a really fancy wedding sort of a thing. And then on the walls, during all the walls were just different places where you could take pictures and be superimposed in the posters.
Nice. Now, you might have mentioned this and I might have missed it. The costumes that were on display there from the film, were those set costumes or were they prototypes?
I'm pretty sure they were screen worn.
Okay, cool. So authentic to the film. What were some of the costumes that were there?
Yeah, sure. They had all of them. They had Han, they had Lando, they had Kira, they had Beckett, they had everybody. They had Enfys Nest. They had everybody there that was an important player in the film, except there was nothing for L3 and there was no Chewbacca costume.
That is really cool that they had like all of them there. That is so neat. Now, I know I saw a picture of you on social media with Taylor Gray, the voice of Ezra, at the party. Who else did you run into at the after party? And is there anyone that you'd never met before?
As far as I'd never met Taylor Gray face to face. He's been on the show before, but I never got a chance to actually converse with him. So that was really neat. He was at a table with a lot of people from Star Wars Rebels, like Sam Witwer was there, and some Lucasfilm publicity people who work on the animated stuff were there. And then Dave was there, Dave Filoni. And he walked by, and I went up and I talked to him. I introduced myself to him again because he and I talked at the Rancho Gala 2 years ago. And I'm pretty sure he didn't remember me, which is fine because he's probably met 1,000 fans between now and then. But we talked a little bit, and I asked him some questions about the movie, and he gave me some interesting answers, which I won't say now until everyone sees the movie, but remind me to bring that up again and on a future show. So that was cool. I went up to Eunice, who's, you know, who's again Chewbacca, and he was kind of walking by himself. And I thought, oh, cool, this will be fun. So I walked up to him and I said, hey, amazing job in the film. He said, thank you so much. I said, can I grab a quick picture with you? And he said, yeah, of course. So we took the picture, and of course, he's like so much taller than me. And I said, how amazing that you got to be with Alden Ehrenreich and Harrison Ford. You got to be with both Han Solos. And he goes, I know. Isn't it amazing? And he was really happy. He just seemed like a very jovial, friendly, gregarious guy. So I was really impressed with him. And then we walked around and talked to Brian Young for a bit. He came up and asked me about the movie, which was nice. Talked to some people from Lucasfilm who I'd never met before. Some I had, some I hadn't. And they were very complimentary of my blogs, which I really appreciated. And then I talked to the Wards from Making Star Wars. And then Steele Saunders, who I never got to meet face-to-face before, he came over and I said, hey, it's good to finally meet you. And he said, yeah. He said, I saw you walking out of the bathroom earlier, and I thought, and I kind of blanked, and I thought, there's Dan from the internet. And he said, and I just sort of got starstruck, and I didn't know what to say. And so we laughed because, you know, he's funny. He's just a really funny guy. Yes. Anyway, so I knew he was having a little bit of fun.
I remember.
Yeah, he's great. And so we talked a little bit about the movie, and that was kind of the overall reason kind of for that anyway, because you're in this room with people who have made the film and who are huge Star Wars fans, and they've all seen the movie for the very first time, so everyone just wants to talk about it and see what everyone thinks, and there's a lot of comparisons between this and other films, and people just sort of giving initial immediate thoughts and analysis, so it was really cool. And then I saw Mira, who was in the Target commercial with me, and I got her perspective as well. Talked to Kinsetta Parker for a little bit, who you met at Rancho last year. And it was really, 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 really a wonderful environment.
I want to tell you, I don't know if you got to see any of the, I know when you're in the theater, you saw a little bit of the Star Wars show program, the red carpet program. But when you brought up Eunice, when they interviewed him on that, He is so gracious and so nice. And he gave every ounce of his, like, and of course, I haven't seen the movie and you have, but he gave every ounce of credit to the story writers in creating such a great story, but then also gave full credit of Chewbacca. And now his name has completely escaped my mind. Because I'm thinking Peter Cushing, and that's not who it was. It was
Peter Mayhew.
Chewbacca was originally played by
Peter Mayhew.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
and he gave full credit to Peter Mayhew for making such a replicable character to play, and being such a mentor to him. And the whole time I sat there watching this, thinking he's taking no credit for his amazing work as Chewbacca. He's giving it all away, but that's the kind of person he is. And it was such a refreshing interview with him. And I became such a fan of Chewbacca and same. Jonas as a person and as an actor through that. And it sounds like you had the exact same experience.
Yeah, it definitely comes through when you talk to him, and I saw him interact with a lot of people, and he's very genuine and he's a very good man, and he's a great actor. And that sense of humility is really overwhelming and quite admirable.
So what a great experience. Anything else about the after party you want to share, or are you ready to move on?
No, we can probably move on. I can't remember if I said this already on the show or not, but when I talked to him, he told me he's heard of Coffee with Kenobi, which was really cool. And sometimes people say that just to be nice or because they're not for sure or what have you. But I got the sense he was very sincere, and I think he follows us on Twitter anyway, so it's probably just a Twitter thing. But still, it was nice to hear,
That is cool. That is cool. Nice recognition there. So a couple days passed. You got to visit Disneyland the next day. Now, dare I ask how late that party went, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. Well, it was supposed to end at 11, but I don't think I got out of there until probably midnight. People just kind of stayed around and chatted.
So then you had your experience at Disneyland, but then you stayed an extra day to be able to go to a press conference that you were invited to. So tell us a little bit about that, how that came about, and what the press conference was like.
Well, I got invited to the press conference a couple of days after I got invited to the premiere, and they give you basically, here's where it's going to be. And when you are reporting from it, you're allowed to do anything on social media, but please don't indicate the exact location. Because, they want some privacy because there's some big stars there. So you walk down, there's this huge convention area, and I'm walking in this hallway, and it's gigantic. And this door to my right opens, and I look over, and it's Donald Glover. He's walking out, and I think, oh, I'm going to get a picture with Donald Glover. But as soon as I thought that, there were a bunch of people that just kind of came out and surrounded him, and they were taking him to another interview. So I thought, no, I'm just going to let that be. And then I walked down, and I had to show him my ID again, and they gave you this special bracelet that indicates you're allowed to be there. And you walk in this gigantic room, and I just saw a million things at once. I saw a huge display of all of the Solo merchandise from all the different companies. They had the costumes again, but they were on ground level and all right by each other. Boom, 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 boom. They had another one sheet of the Solo thing from the red carpet, so you get your picture in front of that if you wanted to. They had giant individual character posters of all of the characters from the film. They had this green screen area where you could put on a cape and sort of walk. And they say to walk with a bit of a swagger, and you probably saw that on Instagram and Twitter. you wear a Lando cape, yep. And it kind of flutters around, and boy, that was very entertaining. Then they had a virtual reality thing, and they had the Falcon. They had the Falcon that we've just been talking about for the last couple of shows, so I got to walk through and experience all of that.
Oh, neat. So then who was in the press conference to be interviewed?
It was everybody. It was the entire cast and the Kasdans and Ron Howard, and then it was hosted by Anthony Carboni.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about just the experience of being in there, first of all. And sure. The question I want to know is, did you get to ask a question?
So before I walked into there, there weren't a ton of people in the huge press area. And they said they wanted people to start getting ready for the press conference. And they had, I said there was the Falcon you could walk through. So, and I wanted to experience that because I've been thinking about that for a long time. And so I walk in and I saw Sarah Wolofsky from Skywalking Through Neverland, and she was trying to get some pictures and some stuff like that, as was I. So we kind of said, oh, let's help each other out. So I videoed her walking around talking about the Falcon. She videoed me walking around talking about the Falcon. And then they had, and which was great. And Sarah was awesome. And then in the cockpit, you could get your picture. Now, if you've seen online for the Falcon experience that's been traveling around, they take your picture in the cockpit, but it's from the back of the chair and everyone turns around and looks at the camera. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This was set up differently. They had special lighting set up so they could take your picture when you were in the cockpit of the Falcon. So it looks like you're piloting it. And Tom, Chewbacca was there. And this costume for Chewbacca was so incredibly screen-like and authentic that I would swear it was Eunice himself. Even like the way the mask was. And I thought, oh my gosh, I get to be in the cockpit with Chewbacca. And I think I was more nervous about that than anything, because I thought, I can't miss this photo op. This is the ultimate photo op. It's going to be so stinking cool. And but Chewbacca was gone. He was taking a break. And they said, don't worry, Chewbacca's going to be here all day. Go to the press conference. So we walked down, and it was a fairly decent room. And I was peeking around, and there was a couple seats in the second row. So I thought, all right, that's where I'm going. So I went up there and sat in the second row, kind of right in the center. And then shortly after that, Carboni walks out and introduces himself. And then the whole cast comes in, and the Kazdans and Ron. And then he basically asked each person a question. And on show number 123, you got to hear the press conference in its entirety. It was great. And as it was going along, I was whenever an actor would say something, I try to kind of summarize it and tweet it out and get a picture of them and tweet it out that way, because I thought that was pretty neat, fun to see. I always approach these things, Tom, like, if I was sitting at home or if I was looking on social media, what would I want to see? So that's just sort of how I frame it for myself, and hopefully that comes across well for people. And then at the end, I was getting ready, because I've been to a number of these press conferences before, and I've tried to ask questions, but to no avail, because there's a lot of people who, you know, want to ask a lot of amazing questions, and you just hope to be a part of that mix. So I was getting close to the wire, and just there weren't a ton of people asking questions at the end, and I thought, I need to do this. I need to ask this question, because once I can prove to myself I can do this, then I'm golden. And so then he said, we've got time for one more. And I just shot my hand up in the air before I gave myself a chance to second guess it. And Anthony looks over at me, and I was wearing this blue shirt. And he said, the gentleman in the blue shirt, go right ahead. And I thought, sweet, here we go. And they came over, because whenever you ask a question, there's someone that walks around with a portable mic, and they hand it to you so everyone can hear it. So I asked my question, which was basically, you know, in a world of continual moral ambiguity, what kind of challenges do you face when creating the character of Solo? And I said, and this question is for Ron or the Kazdans or even Alden. So Ron looks me right in the eyes I'm in the second row, and he talks to me for about a minute, addressing the question, and I'm just sitting there looking at him and smiling, and sort of, you know, you're very aware that Ron Howard, this Hollywood legend, is staring at you talking, and I just think, okay, this is amazing. And then the Kazdans start talking, and Jonathan in particular seemed really to enjoy the question, so he was talking to me a little bit about it. And then I looked over at Alden thinking, oh man, if I can just get Alden to answer this too, I am on cloud nine.
Yeah.
And he didn't, but Donald Glover did. And he looked at me and he started talking. I thought, oh man, this is like, even telling you now, I have goosebumps, because it was such a cool experience to be a part of that. You know, it's hard to explain, because it's sort of like, I've always believed, if you take yourself seriously and present yourself seriously, then good, serious things will happen. And I think that was a classic example of that. You got to seize those moments, because you never know when they're going to come back. But I really believe if you take advantage of them, then that opens doors to future possibilities.
Absolutely. That is so cool that Donald Glover jumped in to reply to that.
And actually, there's a video that we're going to post on our Coffee with Kenobi website. But about 32 minutes in, I think, you can see me asking the question. And so that was it was cool for me to get a chance to see that from that perspective.
Yeah. Oh, that is so cool.
In fact, maybe I'll just put that in the show notes for this one.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So anything else about the press conference that you want to share? I mean, I don't know. Geez, after that, I don't know what could possibly be left.
Well, I mean, that the day that what's neat is that the day that actually happened was the actual real calendar day of the 5th year anniversary of the show. So I thought this is a great way to celebrate 5 years, to be able to talk to the director of the new Star Wars movie. So I went down to the press room and I just kind of hung out there for hours and talked to different people and got the perspective and did some social media stuff, did a recording that you heard on show 123. And then I wanted to go and try to get my picture with Chewbacca. And it happened. And I took probably basically you sit in there and Chewie's sitting there and they say, okay, I'm just going to take a bunch of pictures, do whatever you need to do. And they took pictures for about a minute. So I smiled, then I pretended like I was driving. And then I reached my hand up to pretend like I was going to light speed. And as soon as I did, Chewbacca put his hand up or his paw up. So we did it at the same time. And I thought, oh, we're kind of role playing here. So then I just did little action-y poses. And then he put his hands up like he was doing a Wookiee roar. And I pretended like I was shocked. And then I started laughing. And it was so glorious. It was just so, what a cool photo op. And then when it was done, Chewbacca looks over at me. And he talks, and it wasn't in Shriwook. It was like in just basic old English and breaking character. And he said, "Hey, which one are you? Are you Dan Z?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And he goes, "From Coffee with Kenobi, right?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Yeah, I used to have Corey on. I love your show. I never miss one. Keep up the great work." I said, "Hey, thanks, dude." And I kind of patted Chewie on the back, and I walked out thinking, "Okay, so on the 5th anniversary of the show, Chewbacca on the bridge, on the cockpit of the Falcon, looks at me and says he likes my show and he never misses it." So, you know, it was a gentleman that was very, very kind. And I walked out and I saw Daniel Kennedy, who's one of the people who helps organize all these things for Lucasfilm. And I told him the story about me talking to Chewbacca. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, he's a fan." And I thought, this is heaven. Like, I'm not sure who was under that amazing costume, but thank you so much for making my day, sir. That was so cool. Again, on the 5th year anniversary of the show, to have Chewbacca say that to you, and with sincerity and in an earnest way, was just wonderful. I'm very, very blessed. Very blessed.
Gosh, what a fantastic experience. Well, Dan, thanks for sharing your experience with us. And I hope you continue to share these experiences as they come up over the next several weeks or months or maybe even years. The story will never get old, that is for sure. So thank you, and after this break, we'll be back with more Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, the Star Wars Card Trader from Topps, One Nation Coffee, and Harry's Razors. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of those shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own iTunes feeds now. That's going to do it for show number 124 of Coffee with Kenobi, 2 podcasts this week from Coffee with Kenobi. Because of all the excitement and the amazing things happening around the red carpet world premiere event of Solo. Again, thank you so much for supporting me and for listening to me talk about these amazing experiences. We are getting so close to the nationwide release of Solo, and I can't wait to see what all of you think. I'm dying to talk about this movie with you. Cannot wait. A big thank you to Clayton Sandell and Tom Gross for being on the show. We will have links to their information on the show notes. You can catch Clayton on Good Morning America and Nightline, and Tom can be found each and every week as our CWK newsman. The next show will be our pre-Solo release show, and it's going to be a very exciting one. And we will also be broadcasting live from the Peoria Riverfront Museum, myself, Tom Gross, and Corey Club. We're going to try to stream it on our YouTube channel live if we can make that work. If not, we're going to record the audio from it, so it will be available for you to listen to. Probably looks like it's going to be 2 shows next week. And then the week after Solo comes out, we're going to have our huge roundtable full review of the entire film. So thank you so much again for joining us on Coffee with Kenobi. We will see you next time. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.